The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 162 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by my side by Mr. Kevin Whelan, our founder. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. I'm not sure I like being behind your side. I want to see those legs of yours.
I got my shorts on today.
I know it's summer, but...
Oh, we're sweltering in the HQ.
I thought you had caterpillars crawling up and down your legs, Chris. So very off-putting. What have we got to talk about today?
Oh, we're talking about impact today.
Well, it's certainly had an impact on me.
We've invited a special guest, Richard Kennedy, who's the co-founder and director of Cornerstone Place. And we've been working with Richard for some time now, and a client of Wealth Builders. And Richard's very passionate about social enterprises, and rightly so. So wealth isn't always about focusing on the money, and Richard definitely nailing that message home today.
Yeah, unquestionably the case. I mean, it's all about balance and dealing with wealth. Wealth appears on many planes at different levels, and you, when you build your wealth, you go through a journey of transformation, and part of that transformation, it kind of links a little bit to the, you probably remember the episode, Chris, where we did the 11 ROIs.
Yes, episode 55. That was linked
55.
In the show notes.
So impact normally appears later in the whole continuum of, you know, working out, first of all, things like overcoming inertia, reason to overcome inertia. That starts at level one when you're trying to find your reason why. Return on intellect, learning, return on interaction, building relationships, building connections, feeling part of a community. And the return on impact tends to come much later, usually once someone has got to a level of security or independence, and then they're switching their focus to the impact on the world. You know, are you leaving the world in a good place? How do you feel about that? You know, where does that rank on what you're trying to achieve in the long term? So it tends to appear much later. But what Richard's done is brought that impact front and center as he's building wealth. And I think it's a very clever way and a very insightful way to do it.
Yeah, so in essence, social enterprises are businesses that are changing the world for the better. And like traditional businesses, they aim to make a profit, but it's what they do with their profits that sets them apart. And that's generally reinvesting or donating them to create a positive social change. And we'll hear from Richard as to his experience and obviously the wonderful work that he's doing with Cornerstone Place, which is all around homelessness.
Yeah, and that's obviously something that struck a chord with him and his business partner, David, as well. And he speaks very eloquently about it. And fascinating when he talks about the number of nights people sleep under the cover of a roof that is being provided to them with care and consideration. And I think it's a very wonderful thing that they're doing.
Yes, let's not wait around. Let's head over to our conversation today with Richard Kennedy. Richard, welcome to Wealth Talk today.
Thank you, Christian. Absolute pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
No, it's a real pleasure to have you. And, you know, we love seeing you out and about at the various events and certainly more recently at Equa events just outside of London. And today we're talking about social enterprise and the great work that you are doing in that area around property. And you've been working in social sector since about 2007, I believe. So it'd be good to have a brief background as to what got you into this, why you're so passionate about this topic.
Cool, thanks, Christian. Yeah, so my first career was in restaurants, and I decided, you know, when my first child came along, that actually making money for shareholders was not my primary objective and calling in life. So I actually went and did an MBA and did that in Cape Town. I was born in South Africa, so was nice to go back to South Africa. Did my MBA in Cape Town and discovered on the MBA this amazing thing called social enterprise, and I really enjoyed business. I enjoyed managing a P&L and understood, you know, put sales up a little bit and put the costs down a little bit more, and then you get much more on the bottom line. But like I said, it was lacking this purpose. And social enterprise is essentially a business, a trading business that generates its own sales revenues, but ultimately, its purpose is to create impact. So I then spent, started about 2007, working for a social enterprise in London and a charity, and we ran a what was in the very early stages of the social investment sector, a venture philanthropy fund, which is, for the investors in the room, is a minus 100% return. So you give the money away, but you use investment principles to think about how you're going to get that money's going to have an impact. And did that for a number of years, and then became, with business, it's really important, obviously, that you manage your bottom line. Well, if you're a charity or a social enterprise, what's really important is the impact, right? So charities and social enterprises should be as good, if not better, than the private sector in measuring impact. It should be as good as measuring impact as the for-profit sector is at managing cash and profit. So I became a bit of a geek in terms of impact measurement and became what's called a social return on investment practitioner. So worked with charities up and down the country to help them to measure and understand their impact and hopefully through that improve it. And then ended up on various boards, including Social Value UK, which is the national membership organisation for people who are focused on measuring impact. And I'm still co-chair of Social Value International, which is a sort of international federated sort of membership body. So, it's been a meandering career. And I've always invested in property alongside my sort of social sector work. So I used 9 to 5 for impact, and then I used all my time on the train commuting to London to find deals, and my weekends going and looking at sites and managing builders and all that sort of stuff. And it was a bit of a kind of split personality. And so I guess about 5 or 6 years ago, I started thinking, is there a way I can do property and impact at the same time? And I guess that's when Cornerstone Place, started to come into fruition.
Yeah. So I want to find out all about Cornerstone Place in a moment. You've mentioned impact there several times, Richard. What do you actually mean by impact? Impact where and to who?
Sure. So just to be technical on the kind of social return investment side, we're talking about externalities, right? So it's things that sit outside of your core activity. So if your core activity is selling burgers at McDonald's, what are all the things that happen outside of that that have an impact? If you're a oil company, you're going to make money from selling oil, but you're also going to dig a really big hole in the ground and you're going to make a mess. And, so you need to think about what those externalities. So when I think about impact, I should probably have said positive social impact. And so what I'd like to see in the charities and social enterprises that I've worked with over the, decades is looking at what is it that we do and how do we have a positive impact on the people that are around us. And I know this is wealth talk and this is about, how do you maximize wealth? Well, I would sort of challenge, your listeners that actually wealth isn't just about money. It's about well-being. It's about self-esteem. It's about community. It's about relationships. And actually, if you've got lots of money and you've got none of the other things I've just mentioned, then you're probably going to be much more unhappy than if you've got all of those things and a little, obviously money's really important as well. It does make things a bit easier. Hopefully that's sort of a bit of a big topic to uncover in a podcast.
Well, I think it's interesting because so often, people can become a bit fixated perhaps on the money, right? On hitting that financial target, whatever it is for them, to become financially independent. And I think your message here is that you don't need to wait until that point where you've got all the money and only then do you start to think about, well, what good can I do in the world? But you can start thinking about that right now and also make money alongside it.
Yeah, absolutely. And as an investor, we should be, and I'm an investor, I've got SaaS, I invest in various things as well. We need to be thinking about that when we make those investments, through the core activity of whatever it is that's happening, that our investment is enabling, is that core activity going to improve the world, leave it the same, make it worse? And I think as an investor, we should be, particularly when you're thinking about SaaS and pension and long-term money, we should really only be investing in things that are going to make the world a better place over the longer term. Because if you know, if you think about the macro view, if the whole world is investing in stuff that's going to make the world worse, then who cares what happens in 20, 30, 40, 50 years when you retire, because it's not going to be a very nice world to retire into. So we should be taking our long-term money and investing it in something that's going to make the world better, not worse. And absolutely, it's never too soon to be thinking about that. And I think, you know, the younger generation are doing that. I think if you talk to, you know, people in their 20s, you know, they understand that actually, you know, that it's important to think about those things, and we shouldn't be investing in things that damage the environment or communities.
Yeah. So let's look at the impact in particular that Cornerstone Place is having. So tell us about the company and, you know, the good work that you're doing there, Richard.
Thanks, Christian. So so Cornerstone Place is a social enterprise. You know, we are, our primary object is to serve charities that provide accommodation and services for people at risk of homelessness. And we effectively develop properties bespoke to those charities. You know, we ask them what it is they're looking for, and then we try and find that in the market or develop it for them. And I think what's, you know, I guess unique about what we do is we then ultimately, we don't want to be long-term landlords. We want the charities that we work with to own and operate those assets. So we take a bit of risk up front. We find the sites, we develop them. And over the long term, we want those charities to end up owning those assets. And the reason for that is what we find is the smaller charities and social enterprises, you know, often don't have the expertise to do developments or bigger projects, and also the reserves to fund them. And, you know, our property investors in the audience will know that you can't get into property without putting down reasonable deposits. And so what we do is we help those organizations understand and get involved in the property sector, but we take all of the risk, we raise all of the money, and then ultimately in the end they end up owning it. And what that does is it concentrates the return on the charity rather than on the owner, the asset owner. And we want the charity to be the asset owner, so we want them over the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we want them to get the capital growth, we want them to get the cash flow. And I think through that, we'll create a more sustainable, you know, accommodation, homelessness support accommodation sector.
Mm. And when you set up Cornerstone Place, did you have a vision? Did you have some targets, some goals that you wanted to achieve?
Yeah. So my co-founder and I, David, you know, we first met each other actually in 2017, and started thinking about this. And you know, obviously my background is in the social sector and thinking about, you know, sustainable business models that have an impact. David is a kind of more of a developer, a more traditional background, but he does have his version of lived experience in the homelessness space. A close member of his family was affected by homelessness during his 20s. And so he has a real calling to do something about this as well. And when we started thinking about what our big goals were, we'd like to create 1,000 rooms, flats, units, houses, whatever that number is, but, you know, accommodation units. That's our goal over the next probably 4 years. But I think it's, you know, the important thing for us is how many people sleep under our roofs every night. And, you know, our kind of goal there is, you know, 5 to 10 million homeless bed nights. So every night someone spends a night under one of our properties, you know, then that's one. And then adding up that across all of the different sites and units that we develop. And, you know, we're doing okay. We've got kind of about 130,000 ish locked in, but in our pipeline, there's about 3 or 4 million in the pipeline. So, it's going pretty well. And ultimately that's, on one level, it's quite sad that there's such demand. But I think having come out of the back of COVID, and I think now with the you know, the cost of living crisis and interest rates going up, that's creating a lot of pressure for a lot of families around the country. And a lot of the local authorities that we talk to are expecting this tsunami of presentations over the next 3 to 6 months. Mm. So it's, you know, it's sad that that there's this opportunity, but I hope that we can deliver that and support those charities and those people so that we can create that sustainable change for them.
And can you tell us about some of your current projects, Richard?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we've got one in development at the moment, which is our first site actually that we're working with a local authority, so that we're renting that from them on a long term lease. We've got another site in Greater Manchester, which we're really excited about. It's going to be a new build. It's going to be net carbon zero, you know, from an operational perspective. We expect the units there are going to be, we hope, between £100 and £200 a year to heat. And obviously, with utility costs the way they are at the moment, that is fantastic. And then we've got a couple of, bigger developments that are further down the line, that we've just put in planning for one that's for 63 units. And we've got another one that we're in detailed legal discussions for another one that's about 35 units. And that's keeping David and I very busy. And we're sort of up and down the country, virtually and in person, talking to charities to try and meet their needs to so that they can support their beneficiaries and build communities.
Yeah, and you mentioned David. Obviously, any great business has a great team behind it. I believe there's some other known faces to Wealth Builders who are also part of the team.
Yeah, so Mark and Nigel are directors as well and shareholders in the business and do a fantastic job with us and help us, I guess, strategically, but also they get in the weeds if they need to. If there's an operational challenge or a difficulty, then they roll their sleeves up and help us with that as well. But it's great having that rigor and that challenge from a couple of people with their experience, background and of course values.
Yeah. Now, how do you get your funding, Richard? Obviously, to hit these big goals, there will be some funding required. Where does that come from?
Well, property is expensive, as we know, and it's getting more and more expensive, and unfortunately, with interest rates, it's getting more expensive to fund as well. But we work with sector lenders and lenders that share our values and are hoping to create impact with us as well. So we generally get, as most developers do, the majority of the funding from senior lenders. And then the balance is made up normally through social investment. There's a number of different social investment funds that we work with across the country. Where possible, we can get grants from grant funders. And we're also, exploring a number of projects with Homes England at the moment. And we've secured some RSAP, it's a terrible acronym, but Rough Sleeper Accommodation Programme. It was part of a Department of Levelling Up during COVID. We've secured a significant sum from them for this new build site in Greater Manchester. So it's a kind of blend. It's a bit of a challenge to raise that whole capital stack, but that's our offering to the charities that we work with is you don't have to raise the money, we'll raise the money. And then we're also working with Big Society Capital, who are effectively the Bank of England, but for the social investment sector. They fund social investment funds, so they're a core funder of social investment funds, and we're working with them to develop a shared upsides investment fund. And that's going really well. They've been highly supportive. They're introducing us to a lot of potential investors, but also helping us with what the structure of that fund will look like, introducing us to people who can model these sorts of funds and think about the risk and the governance structures and all of those sorts of things. So hoping to have more to share about that in the coming months.
Mm. And if anyone's listening, Richard, as a private investor, is there a way that they can become involved in this too?
Yeah, we do. We do. There is definitely a space for private investment and we have taken private investment in the past. Absolutely. We're happy to hear from people. I mean, at the moment, we're not seeking anything for any of our projects, but never say never. It would be a social impact investment if anyone was looking to find a place for some of their capital that's going to have an impact. Then I'm obviously very happy to have a discussion. At the moment, we're not looking for anything specifically, but always keen to talk to other investors and happy to do that.
Yeah. And you're chairman of Social Value International as well, Richard. You know, how are you seeing this industry changing over the last few years, and where's it heading? What are some of the big things that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, so I'm co-chair of Social Value International, which is the federated, you know, lots of different countries are members of Social Value International. We've got members, 1,000 members in 25 countries around the world. And the mission of Social Value International is to change the way society accounts for value. And going back to what I said earlier, you know, there's externalities in everything that we do. You know, in our conversation now, Christian, you know, our laptops are plugged in and we're using electricity and all of the rest of it. There's everything that you do has externalities, and what Social Value International wants to do is change the way that society thinks about accounting. And at the moment, society generally only thinks about financial, and I think we're trying to work with organisations around the world to increase that that view across outside of just money into other things. And we're working with you know, great organisations around the world, including people like the UN and you know, big standard setters around the world. And I think people are waking up to the fact that actually you know, business as usual doesn't really work, and over the long term, it's not sustainable. And I think, you know, you're seeing a lot of ESG funds in the market now. I think early on they were sort of negative flagged, so we won't invest in, you know, tobacco or oil or arms. Now they're starting to shift a bit more towards positive bias, so looking for things that actually have a positive impact rather than stuff that just doesn't have a negative impact. And I think people are realizing that this is a much more sustainable way of investing. And like I said earlier, I think for pension investors and pension funds, you know, the big pension funds, this is more and more important. They're looking for long-term sustainable income, but that also has, at the very least, no negative impact, and hopefully has a positive impact as well. So I hope it's shifting, and I think government regulation needs to follow a little bit. But I do think the world is waking up to that there's more to life than just money. And actually, if you take money and the other things together, then you get a better picture.
Yeah, and we talked about the bigger picture there, but I just really like the message that hopefully will resonate with anyone listening now, that you can think first about the impact and then look if something will work financially.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what Cornerstone Place is about is really being impact-led. So our starting place is, what is it that the charity needs? What is it that their beneficiaries need? And we work with interior designers with, you know, psychologically informed, you know, environment training to think about how we can create the best atmosphere for that beneficiary. Then we think about how do we make this work. Then we think about how do we fund it. And you know, we're kind of impact and humanity led rather than financial.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, many of those opportunities just simply don't work, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it just, you know, and I know we're preaching to the converted, but you know, when you analyze a normal commercial conversion or a property deal, you might do, and I did in my time, probably, you know, you do 50 for every one that gets across the line. Well, it's probably the same, if not, it's probably, you know, the ratio is even worse because there's this nuance around impact and sustainability and all of those other things as well. But yeah, you've just, like anything, you've got a hopper. You've got to put in, you know, all of the opportunities in the top, work out what your metrics are and what your important, you know, the sort of your red lines are, and then, you know, put enough in the top that some drop out at the bottom. And David and I have been working really hard over the last four or five years to ensure that we can start delivering and now seeing the fruits of that.
Yeah, well, congratulations on all your success. We love the work you're doing, Richard. And if somebody would like to get in touch, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, sure. The best thing, you know, it's as all websites, always hopelessly out of date, but you can find out more about us on our website, www.cornerstoneplace.co.uk. And then on there, there's a contact form. So feel free to if anyone wants to know anything further about us or get in touch or join a mailing list, then leave your details there, and that goes to both David and I, and we'll follow up and hope to continue the conversation with anyone who's interested.
Wonderful. Thanks for being a great guest today, Richard.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And yeah, fantastic to be part of this, and I'm a fan as well, a listener.
Okay, great conversation there with Richard. So we will look at some of the points discussed in just a minute, Kevin. Before we do that, let's head back over to Trustpilot and pull out one of our reviews from the last 7 days. And this one is from Lee. And Lee says, around 5 years ago, frustrated with the performance of my various pension investments, I set out to explore my options for a better solution. Having spent a career in financial services, I was acutely aware of the need for comprehensive due diligence. So I conducted extensive research around potential products and providers. In the end, my decision to work with Kevin Whelan and his Wealth Builders community was an easy one to make. 5 years down the line, I'm delighted to say that my decision to go down the SaaS route with the Wealth Builders team has proven to be one of my best. It has delivered on so many fronts, not least of which autonomy, value, and security. It has also helped me to create a lasting legacy for my family, which they will be able to build upon in the years to come. For me, the Wealth Builders community exhibits the highest standards of professionalism with a tangible sense of quality, integrity, and knowledge running consistently throughout all my dealings with Kevin, his team, and community members. Thank you, Kevin and team, for your fabulous steer to date. Things are so much easier with trusted partners at one side. As my mother would say, the proof of the pudding is always in the eating. Indeed it is.
You need a rest.
Well, what a review.
I think it's the longest review we've ever had.
Well, said with sincerity.
No, I'm sure he did. And of course, Lee's a fantastic person, and we still have a relationship with Lee. But you could hear some of the words mixed up in there that echoing the words of Richard, you know, the multiple layers, autonomy, security, family legacy, you know, all of those things. And it's what I said at the beginning, you know, wealth exists on manifests itself in many planes, many levels, many ways. And Richard did a great job of describing not just his motivation, his reason to overcome inertia, but also very clever question, which is, how can I be doing something that I want to do to build my own wealth, but to also make sure it has an impact as well? Very good question, that.
Yes, yes. Obviously, you know, very experienced in the social sector there, and also experienced in property. And yeah, he asked himself the question, can I do property and create an impact at the same time? And it's a good question for anyone listening to think about, really, you know, what's the impact that you're having and that you're making? And I know we've talked about this before. When it comes to investing, it's about, you know, really understanding what your interests are, you know, what's the impact you want to make, and there's different ways that you can do that.
It applies to every pillar. If you think about it, let's try and give an example of how you could leave the world in a different place. And it was interesting, the choice of language Richard used, that the outcome from any business or any venture can either leave in the world in the same place, better or worse. And his decision is, how do I make it better? Well, you could apply that same thinking, irrespective of the pillar on which you're building your wealth, irrespective of whether it's investing in the market or investing in property, investing in a business, investing in your home. So, for example, with your home capacity, there's been a lot of issues around Ukrainian refugees. So you could make a home or part of your home available to that. That would have a positive impact. You, instead of investing just in funds, you could make a decision not to choose to be guided by somebody else and their view of how funds would perform, but you could choose to align your investments directly with who you are as a person. What's important to you? What kind of impact? And as Richard said, not just about avoiding things like drugs, alcohol, ammunition, arms, those things, but smoking, another one. But how could you choose things that are more positive? And I think increasingly investments are becoming more available that allow you to do that. And a number of ETFs or exchange-traded funds will allow you to focus on that sort of aspect. So, or you could choose to invest in companies that are themselves leaving the world in a better place. So really, you could apply that in your business. You could be making gifts from your profit, or you could just look at your business and say, well, how am I using my business and the profits from my business to do good work? So I think there's a whole raft of different ways that we could apply our thinking to make the world a better place. So not just good business, but business for good.
Mm. Yeah, that long-term impact of environment is another area that Richard touched on there, with the new developments being net carbon zero as well, and that helping to reduce costs.
Yeah, and that's layers of benefits, okay? So the benefit, of course, which is his biggest impact, which is helping house homeless people, and we talked about that earlier on, the number of bed nights that he's trying to provide. But also, if the buildings themselves are sustainable, they're using less energy so that they're good for the environment. That's like a double whammy there.
Yeah. And behind every great business is a great team. And Richard talked about Mark and Nigel. And that's Mark Stokes and Nigel Green, who are friends of Wealth Builders.
Indeed.
Founders of the Equa Group. And Mark Stokes has definitely been a guest on Wealth Talk in the past. But a great team there. Shared values, really important, and great experience.
And it can be a wider team as well. So, you know, you talk about a team not just being those who are directly delivering the service, but those people with whom you might have a relationship, either as a consultant, a guide, or just someone to talk to, particularly as all forms of wealth building sometimes, Chris, can be isolating. You know, you could be looking at what you're doing. Whereas I think listening to people like Richard and many others, we've seen lots of examples of good practices in many podcasts we've had over the years, Chris, and I think so many people are using their own energies in their own direction to make the world a better place. And I want to applaud them all, but particularly applaud Richard for, and David, of course, his business partner, for the outstanding work they're doing, backed by the intelligence and good application and guidance given by Nigel and Mark, who are sharing their experience to try and make this a reality as well.
Absolutely. So just to summarise then, I think today's episode shows that wealth isn't just about money, but it's about the impact, the community, the relationships and self-improvement as well for yourself and for others.
Mm. So. Well, not least that if you think about the 11th ROI, Chris, I wonder if you can remember what that one is.
Return on inheritance.
It is indeed. Well remembered. And that's about leaving the world beyond you in a better place. And, you know, that's important to us. And as we get closer and closer to the Wealth Builder for Family or Wealth Builders for Families program, where we're trying to help the current generation equip themselves to be good stewards and teachers of the next generation, and then the next generation, how they can accept the wealth that will flow to them inevitably with great responsibility and great stewardship. And part of that will be thinking about the impact that they want to make as a family. So I'm looking forward to that, Chris. And anybody who's interested in being a great money role model for their kids and want to sort of get a sneak preview or get on the waiting list for that, how would they do that, Chris?
They would head to wealthbuilders.co.uk/families.
Fantastic. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no worries. And if there's any background noise, then as we said at the beginning, we're on the farm today and there's a lot of birds squawking outside. So, yeah, apologies.
That's all them women cackling at your legs.
Very good, very good. So if you've enjoyed today's episode, as always, we'd really appreciate it if you shared it. And, you know, wherever you're listening to this, just hit the share button, send it to a friend, someone who might enjoy our little jokes each week.
All with serious intent, though, Chris.
Of course. Yeah. So thanks for tuning in today. Kevin, we'll catch up same time, same place next week.
I look forward to it, my friend. And until then, see ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.